Okay. Luke chapter 22. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you once again for the day that you've given us and we were able to do all these things. And we ask that you be with us now as we look into your word and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Want me to read? Do you want to read? You want to take it, John?
Yeah, I can read. Give me a
You
sec.
should. You're probably tired too. More than me.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot.
Iscariot.
Iscariot, yes, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him and them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So he went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as he has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and you have re and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Jesus followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth."
Interesting. Don't have a whole lot of observations on this one, John.
I know I'm trying to skim back over the chapter to see. There were some things I was thinking about while I was reading. I'm trying to go back to see if I can pull those out. Let's see.
I think the most difficult thing is why does Jesus tell them to go and buy a sword?
Yeah, that's one of the things I was thinking about. Well, I didn't get there yet. As I was skimming through,
And I don't have an answer for that.
I know I thought that that was really interesting too. Yeah, because he says, you
It
know, "I sent you
prophesied
without money
that,
bag."
is it prophesied that he, that's, some Peter would strike off the servant's ear or something? What?
Oh, I was looking at it as a message for us in the end days.
Well, I know a lot of people do look at it that way, but I'm not sure. You could say that, but I thought maybe it had something to do with the immediate situation.
Right. But then why would Jesus tell him to put his sword away later on?
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's well, after he fulfilled, if he fulfilled whatever was supposed to have happened, but I don't know of any prophecy to that effect. Maybe there is one.
Let me read what the
Because
commentator.
in verse 37, he says, "For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me." And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. What is that? Does that have anything to do with buying a sword? We'll see what the commentary says.
It doesn't say anything really of insight. It says that this allusion here is to the disciples' mission recorded in chapters 9 and 10. When the disciples had de depended on God to provide for their needs, those needs were met through generous people. However, the situation had changed. Jesus here instructed his disciples to take a money bag, a knapsack, and a sword on their journey in order to be prepared for the rejection that was to come.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's an interesting passage. I think it's interesting that Satan not only entered Judas, but was asking for Peter as well.
Interesting.
You know?
But totally different outcomes.
Yeah, but I mean, he wanted to get his hands on probably a lot of the disciples, you know, but
Notice, though, that it says in 31, he hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, I don't think he was sifting Judas, he was using Judas. To sift, in other words, to sift is to separate, the chaff from the wheat. It's what it's alluding to. So, but, and Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So he did fail. But he repented of the failure. And I think Jesus anticipated that too, but when he says, "When thou art converted," or "when you have repented, strengthen your brethren."
Yeah.
And the sifting probably had to do with the fact that Peter was very self-confident. Because even then, he in verse 33 responds, "I'm ready to not only to go with you, but to die with you." And he totally misjudges the whole situation because he not only doesn't go with him, he's on the outskirts, but then he's denying him too.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say what you're going to do, and it's harder, when the reality sets in. And I think that's was the
Yeah.
sifting, the showing Peter that your self-confidence is not what you need. It's the strength that comes from God by faith.
Yeah, I
Okay,
don't count.
well, let's go. I'll read chapter 23. Okay.
Yeah.
And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the King." Now, this is
Wait a
interesting
second.
because that's explicitly what he did not do, if
Yeah,
you
I was just
recall.
going to say that. Just last week, remember they gave him a coin to test him to see what his response would be, anticipating that he would say something like that. Being subversive, like suggesting him to pay tax, but he didn't say
Yeah.
that. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now they're saying, oh, he's s suggesting that people, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. It's like that's an outright lie.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's what these people are doing with Trump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And all the people who support him. No, it's 100% true. That's exactly what they do. They'll
They're
say,
saying like the
they'll
exact
accuse
opposite.
you of doing the exact opposite of what the person is doing. And
I know, that's amazing. He
it's
literally said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
yeah.
How do you take from that? Oh, he's forbidding people to pay taxes.
No, you can't. It's just a lie. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent them to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. That's interesting, too. But I think the fact that I think Pilate sent them to Herod because he didn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I think Herod interpreted it as an act of subservience.
Yeah.
And as a result, they could be reconciled.
Yeah.
Whereas,
Yeah, I think so too. I think Herod looked at that as, Pilate is acknowledging my authority.
yeah, my authority, yeah, right. So it's interesting. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring in that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for the sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs which never bare, and the paps which never gave sick, sucked, rather. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I just wanted to comment on this. Sixth hour and ninth hour, that would be 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. Probably knew that, but just in case, it was not.
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No. So it was dark from about noon till 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I see.
So we're up to 48,
No, 47.
47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council indeed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Just a little, since there you didn't un since there was some misunderstanding about the sixth and twelfth, let me explain a little further. It says, I believe it was the, sometimes it says it was the ninth hour of the day or the day. I think in Acts, when on the day of Pentecost, it says it was that they're saying that the disciples are drunk with wine, and Peter goes out and says, "These men are not drunk with wine as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." That would be 9 o'clock in the morning, because the day started at 6 o'clock, or roughly thereabouts. There were 12 hours in the day, from 6 to 6. The
Right.
hours, I've heard, since they use sundials, were not necessarily 60 minutes long. That's another thing that always made me wonder, how could Jesus say there were 12 hours in the day? Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less, if you mean daylight.
Right.
But if you're using a sundial, some, depending on how you have it marked off, you can have it so it's divided up into 12 equal sec 12 sections. Some might be a little longer or shorter, depending on the shadow's position. But roughly, the third hour will be the third mark on the sundial from the time the sun rose, and the 12th hour would be the last hour before the sun, the dial wouldn't be readable anymore in any case. So roughly, the hours of day divide into 12 pieces.
Yeah.
I find the stuff on time and days fascinating when you can. And so I've done some research. It's none of this, I don't suppose, is absolutely conclusive, but that's roughly, it makes sense that that's probably what was going on. So the Sabbath, of course, begins at evening. So after they do all this, they returned and rested, and be or began the Sabbath rest that night.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other observations.
Okay. Well,
Well,
we can
let's
finish the
explore.
book then, I suppose, because we've still got lots of time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
You want me to do 24?
I'll keep reading it.
All right.
Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering to himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed it together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And behold, besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also are of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow to hear, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and saith unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. Or Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. It's funny that Luke, who wrote this, when it ends this with the promise of Pentecost as like the last thing that Jesus says to them. And of course, then when you turn to Acts 1, skipping the introductory paragraph, it continues right. It's like it's the next chapter in the narrative.
Let me see that.
In fact, there are some early versions of Luke that supposedly don't have those first verses, because the next verse would be verse 4. And being assembled together with them, oh no, not verse 4.
Yeah, nine.
It's
Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they, so it would be starting
yeah.
off with nine, I guess. Yeah.
Well, they looked steadily, and which all said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? The same which is taken up in heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him." Yeah, in fact, it's got information that it doesn't have in chapter 24.
Yeah. I always wished that when it says that when he was talking to the two on the road to Emmaus and
You'd have some record of the
yeah, of the sermon that he gave, where he, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them all the scriptures and things concerning himself. I wish that was recorded. That would have been amazing to see.
It I we get something like that, I think, in Acts from Stephen when he is preaching, because he's preaching to the Jews, and he does go through the whole Old Testament. But it's not all specifically about Christ. It's
Yeah.
more about their hard-heartedness. But yeah, that would be very interesting. There's probably a reason why it's not given. Maybe that would make it too simple.
Yeah.
Wouldn't require the faith and the wrestling with it.
Or it would be a massive section.
Oh yeah, if
I mean, it would probably double
it
the size
was
of the
three
Bible.
hours or 4 hours that they were on the road, yeah, it could be a book in and of itself.
Yeah.
So we finished Luke. I don't know what we're going to do next time, but at one point you had said we should do topics. Remember that? We had
No.
decided not to do it, and I think I was the one who advised not to, but it was primarily because we were doing the study for the benefit of the kids more than any, and I
Yeah.
didn't want to get into things that they would have had no background for, and thought it would be better if we go through the main books of the Bible that so they can get that background. But if we're doing it and you would like to look at a topic,
Yeah, excuse me. We can do topics.
I just was wanted to throw that out because we're coming to another break point.
Yeah.
Has there been anything you've been thinking about recently?
I'm sure there has been. I can't
Can't
think
think of it offhand. Okay.
of has there been anything I've been thinking about or talking about lately?
It's funny how you can't think of it. I can't either right now.
A topic, yeah. I'm sure they're.
Okay. Well,
I'll have to think of something.
we'll talk. We'll send me an email or something if you think something, and I'll do likewise if I think of it.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn the recording off and,